chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy rains. Amazing love. My chains are gone. My chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns. Unending love. Amazing. Was true grace that taught my heart to pray and raise my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear? The hour I first believed. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace. My chains are gone, my chains are gone.
Can we just lift our hands to the Lord this morning? Can we just lift our hands and thank the Lord for His unending love, for His amazing grace upon our life? Hallelujah. It was by the grace of God that He redeemed us. It is by the love of God that He reached out to us. It is by the mercy of God that He did not allow us to be punished for the wrongs that we did. This hallelujah. Can we just thank the Lord this morning? Lift up our hands in adoration and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for coming down to this world, Lord. Thank you for saving me, Lord. I was in the miry clay. I was deep in sin, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you for reaching down to me, coming to where I am, picking me up, Lord, making me stand upon a rock, giving me a song in my mouth that I can praise the name of the Lord this morning. Hallelujah. Can we just lift both our hands before the Lord? Just say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Unending love, amazing grace. What the grace of the Lord that He displayed upon the cross of Calvary. Father, we thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for this beautiful day. that we have given us to come in your presence and lift up your name, which is higher than any other name, O Father. I bless your name this morning. Help me to listen to your word. I pray that you open my ears to hear your word this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. While we are just still standing, I would like you to open your Bibles to the Gospel of John, chapter 12. Verse number 24 and 25. And then we will turn a page to the Gospel of John, chapter 15, and we will read a few verses there. As you all are aware, I am speaking on a series called The Seven Attributes of a Healthy Church. And before last week, we have already discussed about three attributes. The first Sunday, I spoke about the church as being the hope to the world. The second time, I spoke about healthy churches that follow the blueprint that God has. And the third Sunday, I spoke about healthy churches that live out unity. Today, we are going to speak about the topic, healthy churches produces lasting fruit. Healthy churches produces lasting fruit. Let's turn to John's Gospel, chapter 12, verses 24 and 25. And I'm going to read the New King James Version, and you follow with whatever version of the Bible that you have. These are the red-lettered words of Jesus, which means these words are very important. There is nothing that we can take away. Very, very deep, meaningful words that today let us meditate upon this word. John chapter 12, verses 24 and 25 says like this, the words of Jesus. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Turn a page over to John chapter 15. We are going to read a few verses here again. John chapter 15, again the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, where Jesus says like this, verses 1 and 2. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. And we read from verse number 4 to 8 like this. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples. And we will end up with one more verse, which is verse number 16. The words of Jesus. Take it as he is speaking to us. Where Jesus says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you, that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. For a moment, can you just hold your hand on your chest and say, Lord, help me to hear what you're talking to me this morning. Let Lord take away all the unnecessary noises that is coming to distract me. Lord, many times distractions kill me and I lose the message. Even though my body is here, many times my mind wanders in many directions. Help me to focus on your word. Help me to listen when you talk to me. The still small voice, help me to listen to me. Praise God. Please be seated today in the presence of God. Amen. Hallelujah. We are going to discuss on a topic which is called healthy churches produces lasting fruit. The Bible all the time speaks of different examples to make us understand what God requires from our lives. Anybody who plants a seed, any farmer who plants a crop, any person who has a kitchen garden and grows a herb, the point is that one day you will be able to go back and pluck some fruit from that tree or from that wheat or from that herb. There should be something that the farmer wants to get back. When we see the Bible throughout, fruit is a good indicator of a true believer in Jesus Christ. In order to know how good a tree is, you can look at the fruit. Last week when we were in Israel and we were having our dinner in one of the restaurants in a hotel, outside we saw a tree where it was full of fruits, tangerines, lemons growing out. Beautiful, beautiful fruit that we could see all around, and a tree is known by the fruit. And so it does not really matter how many trees are present. What matters is that, are they producing good fruit? Even if they produce fruit that are bitten by insects that are not good, it is not good to be used by the person who wants it. So we need to be like good trees that produces good fruit, and the fruit should last. Healthy churches are passionate about producing good fruit that lasts. And I will explain to you more clearly what it means. When God planted the church, He said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The church and the members are like trees that God has planted up in the vineyard, and God has enclosed us with His hand that the enemy will not come and attack us. God's hand of protection is upon us. Every day from morning to evening, God is looking into our life as a farmer looking at the crop and seeing what is this person producing. Is this person producing any good fruit? And the fruit that is being produced, God wants it to be useful for the kingdom of God. So as a church, we need to understand if the church is producing good fruit. It's very important. If the fruit is not produced, we need to make some hard decisions. We need to reorient our plans, and we need to do something. This morning in our Bible class, we saw a small video clip that really touched my life and said, churches are not about programs. It's not about meetings. It's not about fundraisers. It's not about everything. It is about people who can go and make disciples and make fruit for the kingdom of God. Amen. How many of you believe with me? Can you lift up your hands and say, praise the Lord? Amen. So, the healthy churches consist of people who are transformed by the power of God. If your life is not transformed, understand that there is something lacking and you need to get right with God. If your life is not transformed by God, your mind is not transformed, your attitudes are not transformed, your thinking is not transformed, your priorities are not transformed to conform with God's plan, let me tell you that there is something seriously wrong and we need to look into our lives. Why am I not producing fruit? There is a very serious thing that we need to look into our lives. Many times we see many big churches, and I see there are a lot of mega churches around it. There is good music, there is good worship, there is good preaching. But I am asking a question here. And every time I talk to my daughters and, you know, they talk about big churches, and I ask them, okay, big churches are good. You go, hear good music, good worship, there is a lot of preaching. But let me ask you, what is the fruit that the believers who go there are producing? Many times we go as if we are sitting in a concert hall. There is a performance going on. Everything is nice. We clap our hands. We go back as if nothing has happened. That is not what God plans for His church. He wants everyone to go and produce good fruit, both inside and outside the church. And they have to reflect Christ to the people outside. So it's the fruit that we need to be concerned about. The fruit of the Spirit. We all know about the fruit of the Spirit, what it talks about. And that is what we need to produce in our lives. And that is what we need to see. So the healthy churches will produce lasting fruit. And if our church is not about producing fruit that lasts, we know that there is something wrong and we need to reorient our lives. Make sure that we are producing fruit that lasts, because it is by our fruit that people will know that we are following Jesus. This morning I want to present to you two different passages that we read. You may think the first passage that we read, what is that in context, in the context of being fruitful? Today I am going to give you some very good insightful thoughts that I want you to think about. Don't hear and go from here. I want you to think about and I want you to adopt that in your life. Okay? So here we come to John chapter 12. And Jesus Christ is giving an illustration. The illustration that Jesus is giving is of a grain of wheat. Jesus is talking about a grain of wheat. It says that a grain of wheat, in order to multiply, in order to really come out and produce fruit, there is something that should happen. The grain of wheat must fall to the ground and the grain of wheat must die in order to produce fruit. It's very opposite to what we think. We think that a grain of wheat should be looking good and it should be very healthy to produce fruit. But Jesus says, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and die, it remains alone. But when it dies, it will produce a harvest, a multiplied harvest. What Jesus was speaking about prophetically was about his own life. He was the grain of wheat that came down from heaven. And he came to this earth. If Jesus had not been willing to give himself to die, there would not have been a harvest of souls. But Jesus was willing to humble himself. Philippians chapter 2 says the humility of Christ. He was sitting with God the Father. He came down to this earth as a man. Not only as a man, but as a lowly servant. And then he went to the cross. Why? Why did Jesus go to the cross? So that he can die. Because of the death of Jesus, he has produced an abundance of harvest. And this is what Jesus was initially referring to himself. He was the grain of wheat that would fall to the ground. If Jesus had not died on the cross, he would have been alone. There would not have been people whom he would have saved, the sinners, to share his glory. But when he died, he would provide a way of salvation by which many would get saved. I want to read a quotation here. I want you to listen carefully. There is a quotation as by T.G. Ragland. I want you to listen to this as I am reading this quotation. If we refuse to be corns of wheat falling into the ground and dying, if we neither sacrifice prospects nor risk character and property and health, nor when we are called relinquish home and break family ties for the sake of Christ, then we shall abide alone. But if we wish to be fruitful, we must follow our blessed Lord himself by becoming a corn of wheat and dying, and then we shall bring forth much fruit. So, as a grain of wheat, the number one thing that, dear brothers and sisters, I want you to understand is, we need to die to ourselves. We need to die to our desires. We need to die to our pleasures. We are living in a world that we have pleasures left and right. You do not have even to go outside your room to get pleasures. All the time we have streaming things on the TV, in the internet, in our phones. We can just have pleasures and we can just live a life not knowing what is going on, and you can do that. But as a child of God, let me tell you what God desires from you, is that you have to follow the example of Christ. You have to be crucified with Christ. Galatians 2:20 says, which I just remember now, Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the power of the Son of God, who died for me and gave himself for me.
Dear child of God, we have to live a life being crucified with Christ. We have to die to our own desires. Many young people have got great plans for the future. Oh, I'm going to study this. I'm going to become that big and this big. And I'm telling you, whatever you become, it's all going to end up in this life. But when you live for God, He will raise you up. And He will put you in a place where you will be not only a blessing to yourself, you will be a blessing to other people also. How many of you agree with me? Hallelujah. You will be a blessing when you are ready to die to your own desires. Dying to your own needs and your wants. And that is how God can use us. Many times, I want you to think about the last week. We all went to work and came back. Have we done anything for Christ? Have we spent, many people say, oh, I cannot go and do this and do that. Have we spent some time in prayer? Have you prayed for the hurting souls? Have we tried to speak to others about the gospel? We need to be thinking about God's kingdom, dying for ourselves and living for the work of God. Because you know why? The soul is more important than the body. Many times we are so much wrapped up in our body. Oh, what we will eat, what we will drink, what we will wear, where we will go, how we'll spend our time. Oh, let me ease, drink and be merry because tomorrow we are going to die. But let me tell you that that is not the end of a child of God. We are going to live forever. One day, as we are proceeding in our life, God is looking at us and seeing if we are fruitful in each and every day in our lives. We need to count all things as loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. And when we serve God, when we love Jesus, His plan will become number one in our life. If we love Jesus, His plan and His purpose will become number one in our life. So hating our life, which means serving God, and we will establish our priority. So the first thing is that the secret to fruitfulness, number one, is you die to self. Die to our desires. Die to our interest. Die to our physical, normal, worldly things. We need to die. And then only we will be able to do something great for Christ. Now we come to the second portion that we read. So in order to be more fruitful, not only fruitful, but more fruitful, the second thing, once we die to ourselves, it says we need to abide in Christ. As a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, but then in order to produce more fruit, we need to get the life out of Christ. When you are dying to yourself, there should be life coming from somewhere. That life is coming from Jesus Christ, who says, I will give you life. I will give you the way to move forward. When you look at John's Gospel chapter 15 verse 1, Christ makes a declaration. This is the seventh and the final great I am statements. He makes I am seven times. This is the last time of the Gospel of John that he says, I am the true vine and my Father is the wine dresser. You know what it means? Jesus is explaining the divine and human relationship through a grapevine. Jesus is the main vine. And we as His disciples are the branches that is coming out of the stem. The different stems, the branches are coming out of the main vine. God the Father is tending the branches like a gardener. So this goes back to the Old Testament, where the nation of Israel was depicted as a vine that was planted by Jehovah. If you read the book of Isaiah, and I don't want to go into reading all that portions, God said, I planted you in the best of gardens. I hedged you. I kept you safe. I gave you nutrients. But at the end, you did not produce the good grapes, but you produced sour grapes. You did not produce the fruit that I desired from your life. You produced things that I could not even taste. You are good for nothing. You are not good for God, and you are not good for people. Here Jesus says, in the New Testament, Jesus says, I am the true vine now, and you are the branches. The secret is that we need to be connected to Jesus. This connection is an intimate connection. When you see a branch connected to the vine, why is the branch connected? Just to get the nutrients.
As you know, the botany, I know you all have done it. I don't want to explain to you. The roots pull out the nutrients and that is being sucked into the branches that goes and it produces fruit. The vine does not produce fruit, but the branches produce the grapes that God desires from our lives. Let me tell you, for a vine, a vine is one of the plant that has of no use other than the fruit. If you take a vine branch, you cannot do anything with a vine except the grapes that comes out of it. The wood is not good for fuel. The leaves are not good for anything else. It's only the fruit that people use to bring joy into the lives of people, the grapes that it produces. So when you understand that you are a branch connected to Jesus, the only reason that you need to be connected is to produce good fruit that will last. We need to produce fruit that will last. If you look at chapter 15, there is a progression about the fruit. If you see verse number 2, the first part of it says that bearing fruit. And then it's in the second part of verse number 2, it says bearing more fruit. And then when we come to verse number 5 and 8, it's saying about bearing much fruit. So fruit, more fruit, much fruit. This is the progression. Some branches, if you see, if you plant a lot of herbs in your backyard, some produces little, some little more, and some produces abundant fruit. That is how it should happen. What God requires from our life is not only that we produce fruit, not only that we produce more fruit, but we should produce much fruit. This is the idyllic progression that we should have in our lives. So, in order to be a fruitful Christian, what you need to do? Let me tell you very clearly. We need to depend on Jesus. And we need to let the power and the Spirit of God flow in through our lives. And the key of spiritual fruitfulness is abiding in fellowship with Christ. We need to have an intimate fellowship with Jesus Christ. I don't know how many of you spend time intimately with God in His presence as you listen to His word and you talk to Him. Do you spend time with God? Are you intimate with Christ? Do you know that Jesus wants to multiply you and make you fruitful? And Jesus says, without me you can do nothing. Many of us, we say, I don't want Jesus. I don't want God in my life. He is outside of our circle. We run around, do this, do that. End of the day we come, we have nothing to show for. Everything is gone. Because whatever we earn in this world, it is going, it's perishable. All our rewards are perishable. But the only thing that will last is the things that we do for God. Hallelujah. So we also need to understand that if we are not producing enough fruit, sometimes God will prune us. Devan chelban chettu nammale. When God prunes us, we go through the pruning process. It's painful. It's not a happy occasion when God will cut like this, a little here, a little there. That's a painful process. But let me tell you, the intention of God is that we need to be more fruitful for God. Hallelujah. How many of you are going through some difficulties in your life? Can you believe that if you are a child of God, God is allowing so that you will be turning your eyes towards Jesus and you will be more fruitful for Christ. Don't give up on praying. Don't give up on seeking the presence of God. Don't give up on having Him to direct you each and every day of your lives. Because He is the one who gives you the joy and the fruit that you can have in your lives. Praise God. Many times the vine, we see that the vines, they are infected by insects and fungus, but that should be cleaned by the word of God. Amen. Many times as a vine, in our daily life, we hear certain things, we speak certain things, we are infected by the diseases and the insects, which is the world, and Satan is putting his dart all the time on us. We need to get ourselves cleansed by reading and meditating and claiming the word of God. Because what God's word is true. What Satan says is not true. He is a liar. He comes to steal, kill and destroy. But we need to turn our attention to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So let me challenge our brothers and sisters. We need to be fruitful.
How are we being fruitful for God? What is the fruit that we are talking about? There is two type of fruits in the Bible. When you turn to Galatians chapter 5, and I want you to turn to that passage. Galatians chapter 5. If you ask our children, they will repeat without interruption. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. It speaks about the fruit of the Spirit. This is the initial fruit that should be reflected in our life when people look at us. Logan namale kaanumbol ee phalam avaru kaananam. They should see the fruit that comes out of our life. What is the fruit? This is the fruit of the Spirit. It starts with love, joy, peace, long suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self control. I want you to think about each of the fruit of the Spirit. Many times we think about the fruit and we make some songs and all that, but I want you to go deep and see this fruit of the Spirit that should be reflected in our day-to-day lives. The top of the list is love. If you don't have love, my brothers and sisters, sneham illengil onnum illa. Whatever you do, you may give all your money to feed the poor, you may allow your body to be burned, you may do anything, but if you don't have love, you have nothing. Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, when you love one another. We need to love one another. And that fruit shall be displayed as an open sight for other people. I don't know, we are not like advertising about our love, but we need to act out of love. Our words should be out of love. Our thought should be out of love for other person. And that is what we need to do. All the fruit. But then, come to the next verse, which nobody, I have never heard anybody quoting with this verse, but I want you to look at verse number 24 also. Look at verse number 24. Galatians 5, verse number 24. Those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Now you know what I talked about, the grain of wheat. Everything is related. One side as a grain of wheat, we need to fall and die to our passions and our desires. Many times, even when we pray, it is for our selfish desires. We ask for ourselves. Oh Lord, bless my children, bless my parents, bless my job, bless my family. That's all we pray. But do we pray, Lord, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on this earth as it is done in heaven. Do we pray, Lord, to you be the power and glory? Do we pray like that? Our prayers are many times selfish. And James speaks about that in one of the passages that I just want to give a passing reference. I don't want to speak much on that. But James says that you ask. James chapter 4. And in verse number 3 says, you ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it to your own pleasures. Even our prayers are selfish many times. Amen. We just pray for our things. Lord, oh, when we come to something, we pray only, Lord, help me, but then we don't bother to even come to God's presence. You know, God is not like an ATM machine. Every time we need money, we go, put in the pin and get out the money. God is not like that. He wants to be having an intimate relationship. Because we don't have to ask Him what we need. He will give us even before we ask. Let me close this with the last verse that I read to you. John 15, verse number 16. And this is the key verse that I want you to think about as you go from here. Why has God chosen us? Devan nammale endinu vendi theranjeduthu. Why did God choose you? If you ask yourself, Jesus is giving the answer here. Here Jesus says, you did not choose me, but I chose you. Not only I chose you, I appointed you. Appointed is like an appointment letter. You know, you get a job, you have an appointment letter, you go to the office and say, hey, I have received an appointment as a branch manager. I'm going to take over. God has not only chosen us, He has appointed us. For what? Just to fill the seats? No. He has appointed us. It says that you should go and bear fruit. This is the reason of our appointment. We go. We are not sitting. We go to the places that needs to be gone. And bear fruit. And that your fruit should remain. Here is the key of the fruit that lasts. What is the fruit that lasts? or the fruit that remain. The fruit that lasts are the souls that we win for God's kingdom through our witness of the gospel. When we go and become a witness of the gospel, we bear fruit. The souls who come to the Lord. Yesterday night, for those who came, we heard that wonderful, I really like that example, I never thought about it. If there is one thing that heaven rejoices, it is when a sinner comes to the Lord. Heaven will rejoice at that time. What the heaven is looking for is that they should rejoice through our lives, that we should go and witness to other people, speak the gospel, that they will hear and they will come to the Lord. Let me close up with this word. And I want you to think about, there are five things that we can learn from these two illustrations. The grain of wheat and the vine branch. Number one, we should be willing to die to ourselves and to the world in order to be fruitful. Can we all close your eyes for a moment? I want you to listen to what I'm telling you. First, we need to be willing to die to ourselves and to the world in order to be fruitful. Number two, we should give more importance to the things of God than seeking our own pleasures. We should give more importance to the things of God than seeking our own pleasures. You know what it is. I don't have to spell out how you spend your time with your own pleasures. But you need to be spending more times and giving more importance to the things of God than to seek your own pleasures. Number three, we should be willing to serve God and follow the direction that He is showing us every day of our lives. Number four, we must depend on Christ. We must depend on Christ totally and allow Him to lead us every day, moment by moment. Christ wants to lead us every day. Devam nimisham nimishamayittu nammale, He wants to lead us every day through the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And we should be willing to do that. And we should depend on God. And finally, Christ expects from us to bear much fruit that lasts. Not only fruit, not only more fruit, but much fruit, which is called spiritual multiplication. God wants us to be multiplying 100 times, 30 times, 60 times for the kingdom of God. We need to be multiplying spiritually by winning souls for God's kingdom. As we are closing up here, I want you to make a decision today. Hallelujah. 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 I want to make a decision about your life. You know, God is speaking to you, and if you ignore His voice, it can happen suddenly. You will lose a chance and you will not get a chance to do what God requires from your life. Let me close with this word that Apostle Paul speaks in the book of Romans chapter 12. And this is the request that Paul is saying. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what that is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can you surrender yourself to God this morning? Just before you go home, in a few minutes you are going to go back to your world, and I don't know when we are going to see next, but I want you to think about what you heard today. Like a grain of wheat, unless it falls and dies, it cannot bear fruit. And unless, like a branch of the vine, unless you are connected to the true vine, you cannot bear fruit. Let us make a decision. Lord, I am going to put an end to my thoughts, to my desires, to my lusts, to my wants of this world, to my pleasures. I am going to put you first in my life. I am going to make you the center point of my life, as we heard in Psalms. I am going to put you in the center of my life. Everything that happens in my life flows out of my commitment to you. Hallelujah. 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 Can we all stand up on our feet? There is an old song that I very much like it, that happens in the Billy Graham crusades at the end. And I like to just sing one paragraph of that song. I want you all to just, this is a prayer that you are coming to the Lord Jesus just as you are. Just as I am without one but that was shed for me, and that thou didst come
to thee, O Lamb.
Can we just sing again? Very slowly, from the bottom of our hearts. Everybody close your eyes at this moment. I want to pray for some of you who are in distress this morning. Some of us are in distress and you need a prayer. You don't have to tell why you need a prayer, but if you need a prayer, I want you to step out of your seat. If you need a healing, I'm going to anoint you. Hallelujah. With the oil, and I'm going to pray over you this morning. If you need a touch in your life this morning, I want us to pray together. Can you all just close your eyes? For those who need prayer at this moment, I want you to step out of your feet. Hallelujah. As we are singing this song, let us know that our God is there to listen to us and to help us in all our desires. Hallelujah. Can we all sing this song very slowly?
Just as I am.
Thank you, Lord.
The winds come to thee, O Lamb.
Can you call out to the Lord at this moment? Can you call out and say, Lord, I come before you. I've wasted many years of my life running after my own pleasures, Lord. I want to do your will, Lord. I want the rest of my life, I want to do your will. I want to walk in the way that you want me to walk. I want to live a life that is pleasing in your sight. Can you make a decision before you go this morning? Can you make a personal decision in your life? I need it. This is the word of God. This is what God desires in your heart. That you give Him the first place in your life. He means more to you than your wife, than your husband, than your children, than your parents, than your job, than anything else. He should come first in your life. And you should be willing to crucify your desires at the foot of the cross. Can we just, as we heard that song, I'm reminded of that Hindi song that we sang. What a love. Oh, Anokha Pyar. What a love that God has shown for us. That He died for us on the cross of Calvary. How much He gave Himself for us. What am I doing in return for Him? He gave His life. He shed His blood. Lord, am I able to do anything bad for You, Lord? Am I even being a witness of what you have done? Sing the good news. Can we just sing the song one more time? Very slowly. I request brothers who want for prayer, would you just step out of your seat and come forward? Anyone want healing? I want to anoint you with the oil. And I want to pray over you. Hallelujah. Can we all sing that song? Lord, be this body, Father, in Jesus' name, Lord. Let it have no other problems again, I pray. In Jesus' name, oh Father, Lord, I pray that we touch this body. Lord, all the thoughts that is plaguing you, oh Father. Hallelujah. Father, I pray for you. Release the bondages of fear in this room. Make him a witness, Lord, in his family, among his friends, oh Father.
Hallelujah.
Thank you. Lord Jesus, oh Father. I pray for the child that is going to heaven. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you bless her. Release God's word. Lord, if she's hurting, I pray that you take her, give her a good and sound mind. I should be a blessing to many. Bless the Lord, Jesus. Can we just pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for speaking to us from your word. From the time we came to this place, you have been talking to us, Father. Lord, I pray that help us to go and bear fruit, much fruit that remains, Father. One day when we stand before you, we can show that, Lord, I have done this for you. You gave me 5, I got you back 5 more. You gave me 10, I got you back 10 more, Lord. We will not be like that wicked servant who hid his talents under the ground and did not bring anything, Lord. I pray that make us fruitful. Multiply us. Bless us, Father. I pray for each and everyone, for their jobs. Some of them are hurting. Somebody needs new jobs, Lord. I pray that you open up windows from heaven, oh Father. I pray that you bless them. I pray for our young people, especially those who are in colleges, oh Father. I pray that, Lord, give them a sound mind that they will trust in you. Thank you, Father, for this day. We give you the glory and honor. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.